I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have here a book. It's called the Book of Common Prayer. You may have heard of it. It is the Anglican book. It is the official prayer book of the Anglican Church of Canada. Still, they haven't taken it off the books. Nobody uses it anymore, except in a few special churches across the land, but still on the books. Article of Religion, number 22. The Romish doctrine concerning purgatory, pardons, worshiping and adoration, as well as of images and relics, and also invocation of saints, is a fond thing vainly invented and grounded upon no warranty of Scripture, but rather repugnant to the Word of God. Sermons have been preached on that, and I figured All Saints' Day might be fun to start there. Let's acknowledge that saints were a controversial topic in the Reformation, and as the Reformation put its stamp on the face of the church for the next however many hundred years, that stamp was left, so that when I was growing up, there was this thing about, well, we're not Catholic, you know, we don't pray to the saints like they do, because praying to the saints is idolatry, and we don't do that, and we're Anglican, we're kind of Catholic, but not that Catholic. So it became kind of a flashpoint in the Reformation, and the rhetoric got rather heated. I mean, I'm sorry, this is a digression, but it's too delicious not to share with you. The rhetoric between the Catholics and the Protestants in the Reformation was nothing like the arguments we have today. Today, the language of argument and power is very polite. I'm sorry to inform you that you're not going to get your way, and this is the policy, and blah, 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 blah. It's all very polite today. Back in the day, I forget who it was, but I'm pretty sure it was an Anglican bishop or archbishop who called Martin Luther a fart of Satan. Which was particularly clever, because Martin Luther was on record saying that he warded off the devil with his farts. So, but I digress. Now, when you read up about the medieval arguments, it's just a little bit too fun. So, but one of the arguments was about the saints and the position that they had in Christian spirituality. And there was a reason that the Protestants defined themselves so strongly against them. And that tied to one of the strategies when Christianity moved into pagan areas of the world. And the pagans had their pantheons of gods to which they prayed. And one of the strategies in some places was the church said, you can keep praying to them, but you just were mistaken about their nature. They're not gods, they're saints. The most famous of these is Brigid in Ireland, who was a pagan goddess, revered by the Celts. And when the Christians missionaries came in, they said, yes, you can continue to pray to Brigid, but she's actually a saint of the church. She's not a goddess. And so that meant the Irish went, okay. Unchanged spirituality, I guess we're Catholic now. And off they went. And in Central America, similar strategies were employed. And the Protestants went, that you still haven't gotten rid of that idolatry. And we've put so much stuff in between the person and God. We need to get rid of all that intermediary stuff so that you can have the direct relationship, because that's what it's all about. And so the Protestants were onto something, because the church had, you know, had all these accretions in the piety life, in the life of piety. And so it was functionally very similar to paganism. And I think the criticism was legitimate. However, there is a way that you can have the saints in your piety that is not idolatry at all. And it took a Catholic friend to interpret this to me. So I can say, that's not my piety, but it is not a bad piety. And that is to say that when I have trouble, I ask my friends to pray for me, and particularly the friends who are people of prayer. Those are the ones that I really want to pray for me, right? If somebody says, well, I'll send you good vibes, thank you, that's lovely, but I want the prayer warrior for this one, right? Now, the saints have gone to their eternal reward, they are still with us in eternity. We are one with them in creation. All time and space are wrapped up in this reality with God, so that those who have passed on are still around in some way, which we don't understand. So if they're still around, can they not still be our friends who can pray for us when we need them to? And I went, all right, I can go with that. That's fine. So my favorite saint, would you please pray for me right now? I'm having a hard time. Totally legitimate, not praying to them as if they were a god or a goddess, just asking them as my friend in Christ to pray for me and join me in prayer for this concern I have. Totally legit. And so as an Anglican, I can say you can go either way on that. If saints do not figure in your friendship circle, totally fine. You don't have to ask them for prayers. If they do, be my guest. Please do. Go ahead. Now, having sort of set up what that conversation there presupposes an understanding of sainthood, which is that they are the great ones. They are the ones. And you get that from today's scripture readings. And this is a reflection on today's scriptures, where you have that business in Revelation, where you have this notion of those robed in white and they've gone to their heavenly reward. They've endured their trials and tribulations, which so many saints have done. The martyrs, the ones who have suffered for their faith and been persecuted for their faith, they are the great ones. They endured, they persevered, they stuck with their faith in the face of opposition. They paid a terrible price for it, and they didn't get their reward on this side of the grave. And so we celebrate that their reward is on the other side of the grave, because then it's all worth it. And they are the great ones, not like us. We're the ordinary folk. And that distinction between the great ones and the ordinary folk is kind of built into our set of assumptions around the saints. This week, today, we've translated All Saints Day. It's November 1st, which is All Saints Day, but you all know what November 2nd is, All Souls Day. So we remember the saints on November the 1st, and we remember everybody else on November the 2nd. And so that distinction is sort of encoded in our understanding of sainthood, which we've inherited from the medieval church. The saints are the great ones. They're the ones in heaven who are the prayer warriors, the great martyrs and exemplars of the faith. And that's the sermon I preached last year. You probably don't remember, but I remember last year. It was a good sermon, and I was talking about the exemplar side. Today, I'm preaching the other sermon. Both of these sermons are true. The other sermon is, the word saint comes from Latin sanctus, which is a Latin translation of the Greek hagios. And the hagioi, and both sanctus and hagioi mean the same thing. They mean holy or blessed. And so you get the word sanctified, which just means blessed or holy. In Greek, it was the hagios, hagioi, plural. And that's the word that Paul used when he wrote his letters to the churches, to the saints in Corinth, to those called to be saints in Rome, to the saints in Philippi. So he didn't mean the great ones. He meant everybody who is following Jesus is at some level already holy. You are the saints of all saints. You, that's it. we're it. And so both these things are true. There are exemplars. There are great ones. Not many of us will give our lives for our faith. And so we celebrate the great ones. Yes, we do. But at some level, we do that within a context that all of us participate in that same reality and that same trajectory. And so we acknowledge that reality also liturgically. That's also encoded in our language. When I say at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you, I'm not asking the Lord to be with you. I'm recognizing that the Lord is with you. So we kept the old translation of that because it's the traditional language. But what it means is the Lord is with you. And you respond, the Lord is with you too. So I recognize the Lord in you. You recognize the Lord in me. And we give thanks to God because the Lord is with us and we are blessed. We are a blessed people. And we say in the Eucharistic prayer that send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts. Because at some level, the Holy Spirit is with us, even now, imperfect as we are. So this is my last point. We are the saints. We are all the saints. Some of us are exemplars. Most of us are ordinary saints. But that sainthood the quality of sainthood shares that property with so many other things in the Christian vocabulary, which is that it has both a now and a not yet property to it. So we're moving into the end times part of the liturgical calendar. We're going to be hearing from Revelation and various other things, as we did today. And that is the not yet. There's that idea that there's a perfection that exists in God's reality that is still in front of us, that we have not achieved that perfection. And we, at some level in our earthly life, we will never achieve that perfection. But that is the perfection towards which we move all the time, every day, new every day. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm working towards that perfection. That's the path I'm on. That is the deepest expression of the desires of my heart. And so I pledge myself to that perfection every day. That is Christian spirituality. But we also recognize that we're not in that perfection yet. And we're not in that perfection with the people around us. And we're not in that perfection in ourselves. And so it's got that, that not yet property. Now, there's also a now property. Because when we engage in that journey, that spiritual journey towards that end, towards the robes in white and all those metaphorical images of the fullness of God's reign on earth, or the reign in the creation, that when we engage in that process, at some level, we already have one foot in that world. And so, even though we acknowledge that because of the great ones being the martyrs and those who have suffered for the faith, we have to posit that there is a reward beyond this life, because the evidence does not show that the most faithful people become super happy, rich, famous, blessed in earthly, worldly terms. Most of them died young. And so we have to posit that there is a future reality or a transcendent reality in which that reward is made fully manifest. But at the same time, we say that we taste that reward even as we are on the journey. And the expression of that for me, when I come at it from this side of we are all the saints, is that when you get a community of people working towards that vision, some of the rewards become manifested in this life. Our relationships change. We are still imperfect people. We still hurt each other. We still struggle with each other. We struggle with life. We endure calamities and hardships. But when we are all oriented towards the blessing, towards the kingdom of God, we are able to be in relationship with each other in such a way that you get this taste of what the kingdom might be like. We get it some of the time, but we look towards that reality where it happens all of the time. So that's the now part of it. The now part of we are all the saints. We are already partly in the kingdom of God, if only we can see it. So when we start with that understanding of being blessed, that we are blessed, when we have that lens of blessing through which to interpret our life and our relationships, it changes our relationships. And when we have a community of people who are able to support each other in that journey through the vicissitudes that it, with which it comes, then we already have a community in which the kingdom of God is partially visible. That's my hope, and in fact, my experience of church community. For all of our flaws, and they are manifold, for all the flaws, I would rather be doing this journey towards holiness and in holiness with others who share that vision, because that holiness actually becomes manifest. It becomes realized at some level. My relationships, my struggles with other Christians are different than my relationships and struggles with those who do not share that paradigm. So sainthood has a now and a not yet quality even for the rest of us. So the saints have a now and a not yet quality. The great ones, the exemplars, give us a vision of the kingdom of God from their earthly life. And they go to their reward in the fullness of time. And so do we in community show what that kingdom of God looks like as we live into those principles of love, forgiveness, kindness, care for each other, care for the broader community. All those classic markers that we all know are the markers of the Christian life. And as we do that, we both realize the blessing and we live into the blessing that is still before us. So, both of those together, the exemplar, the here and now, we are the saints. And a little thought experiment that I do enjoy. I do this every All Saints Day. I imagine all of you with halos around your heads. Because it's true. At some level, it is true. And I've known you, many of you, for a long time. And I know it's true. I know your characters. I know your struggles. I know it's true. And warts and all, not arguing about the warts. I carry many myself. But for all of that, the halos are there. They're there right now. If only we had the eyes to see them. And if we have the eyes to see them, we can realize that the Lord is with you as the Lord is with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.